All right, we are delighted to have on the phone a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, guitarist extraordinaire, and of course the former guitarist from The Doors, Robbie Krieger. Welcome to Chicago, Robbie.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Great. Now, you're coming to town for tomorrow night at the Arcata, are you not?
That's right. You're going to be there?
I'm definitely going to get up there and check it out. I definitely am. You know, I have to ask you something right off the bat and take you back, you know, about 55 years or whatever it was. I don't know. What was it like hearing Light My Fire for the first time on the radio in Los Angeles?
Gosh, I think I was in my car. There had an FM station here. It was the first FM station. It was called KBBQ, like a barbecue. And they played it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It was pretty cool to hear it in the car on KBBQ.
Give me a little insight into your early guitar influences. Who'd you listen to? Who'd you like?
You know, I grew up listening to the blues guys mostly. Well, first it was flamenco. For some reason, my dad had these flamenco records, and so I would listen to those things over and over. You know, that's before I even played guitar.
That's pretty intricate guitar, too, so.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, when I finally realized that I was pretty good at the guitar, I started playing flamenco. And took lessons and stuff. I was pretty serious about it.
Yeah.
And after that, I started getting into the old blues guys, you know, Muddy Waters, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson.
Absolutely.
I think it was that flamenco that made my playing a little different.
Interesting. Let me ask you, how was it performing every night with Jim? Was it different every night with him?
Yeah. You never knew what was gonna happen. It was kind of exciting, you know. Sometimes it kind of sucked, but other, you know, mostly it was really cool.
Yeah.
And you never knew which Jim would show up, you know.
Well, let me take you back to the early days in Los Angeles. How funky was a place called the London Fog Club?
It was pretty funky. It was, I mean, the good thing about it was it was close to the whiskey. So it was, you know, so it was almost the big time. Just down the block was the Whiskey,
yeah,
which was the place to play.
And then you guys became the house band at the Whiskey. How was that?
Yeah, that was the best. Because we got to play with all the big groups that would come in, you know.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you about a different Morrison back in those days. How amazing or not was Van Morrison?
He was amazing, yeah. That was one of the first bands that we played with at the Whiskey. And, you know, that's when he had the group Them. And, you know, they had Gloria and Here Comes the Night,
right,
and all those songs. So that was, really amazing. You know, he was kind of shy. It's really, you know, not like you imagine him to be, until he had a few drinks in him, and then it was kind of the same as Jim Morrison. A
couple of shots of Irish whiskey, and he was ready to go, huh?
Yeah, and Jim learned quite a few, moves from him.
That's great, that's great. Well, you wrote just a bunch of hits for The Doors. I mean, obviously, Light My Fire, Love Me Two Times, Touch Me, Love Her Madly. Do you have a favorite?
Not really, but it's pretty hard to beat Light My Fire.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you didn't vote for Light My Fire, I think we'd put your name up there anyway. So it's like.
But there's this song called Wishful Sinful.
Oh, I know. Great song.
Yeah, I mean, that, to me, that song has a lot of cool stuff in it. And, you know, it was on the album where they put all the strings and horns on there.
Soft Red.
Yeah. But even with that, you know, I still like to play that one today.
Oh, that's cool. Well, now, what can people expect to see when they come see you tomorrow night at the Arcata?
Well,
see and hear, I should say.
We're going to play all the Doors stuff and, you know, a lot of deep cuts that maybe everybody won't know. But and we'll do all the hits, of course. I've got my son Waylon is singing.
Cool.
And yeah, he's pretty good. He's really good. And also, you know who Paul Rothschild was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was our producer, produced all the Doors records. And his son also is playing with us. He sings and plays bass.
Interesting. You know, I wanted to ask you about Paul Rothschild because of the riff or whatever else when you guys were doing L.A. Woman, and he just walked out and said this is cocktail music or something to that effect. Is that a true story?
That is a true story. I mean, he didn't tell us, but he told somebody else that it sounded like cocktail music. And he was referring to Riders on the Storm because, you know, that one lick where Ray goes, da 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 da. It's kind of, I guess that's what he thought.
Interesting.
Most people really love that lick.
I love it, too. It's funny. I've listened to that album 1,000 times, if not more, listening for some cocktail music and never really could find any. So I was like, you know, and I had great respect for Paul Rothschild for all the stuff that he did with you guys and with Janis and, you know, with a lot of other people, but it was just...
was an unfortunate thing because, you know, he had just been with Janis right before she died, right?
Right.
And he was really freaked out, and he was afraid that the same thing might happen with Jim, and he would become known as the producer killer of rock and roll.
Oh, geez, that's not good. All right, now, you're such an accomplished guitarist and so well-renowned. Who do you like today? Who do you hear today that you really like?
Gosh, that's a good question. Yeah, there's so many good guitar players. You know, I look on the internet and I see these kids playing, you know, like 10-year-old kids, you know, from Japan, you know, and these girls, and they're all amazing. I mean, I wish I had started when I was like 6 years old or something, you know. I didn't pick up a guitar till I was 14.
Well, once you picked it up, you've done pretty well with it, so I think you can take stock in that anyway. Do you see and play with John Densmore anymore?
Yeah, we still get together once in a while and play. We did a event for the homeless a while ago, and we're going to get together next month, actually, and we're doing a video together, and so we still do it. You know, he's got tinnitus really bad, so he doesn't play much. But we still get along after all the
that's good to hear.
Bad blood that we had going, you know, years ago.
I had the pleasure of doing an interview with Ray Manzarek many years ago, and found him to be just a very deep and interesting man and an interesting musician and whatever else. So how was your relationship with him, and how would you describe him?
Well, Ray was Ray, man. He really loved the Doors, man. That was his whole life. And, you know, a lot of people accused him of you know, trying to say Jim might not be dead and all this stuff. And he just wanted to keep the Doors going, man, you know. And he was different. I never met anybody like Ray. But if not for Ray, man, there would be no Doors, that's for sure. Because he was the only one to recognize that Jim Morrison had talent. You know, most of the guys at UCLA thought Jim was weird or, you know, didn't like him.
Yeah.
But Ray saw the good in him.
Yeah. He brought it out, too, no question about it. I saw you guys August the 3rd, 1968, in Cleveland. And we were really pissed because we came to the show and bought tickets at the door. And tickets, if you bought them ahead of time, were $4, and they were $5 at the door. We were, like, outraged. It was like, you know. It was like, you think about that today, and it's like, really? You can't buy a beer for $5 now. It's like, are you kidding me? What the?
Where was that?
At Cleveland, at Public Hall. At Public Hall, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was that where they destroyed all the chairs?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim jumped off the stage and was wandering through the audience doing stuff until some guys brought him back up on the stage. And it was like, it was a pretty crazy night, I have to say. But it was still such a treat to be able to see you guys play live. It was.
That's great, man. That's amazing.
It was very remarkable, to say the least. I have to ask you about one other thing that I saw. December of 68. You guys were playing the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco, and I read that during one set, in the middle of Backdoor Man, you stopped performing, and they brought a TV set out on stage so you could watch yourselves on the Jonathan Winters show. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
That's great. I love that.
It was kind of it didn't go over too good because the TV was so small, like people couldn't see it.
Right. They didn't really know what you were doing. Yeah,
they had no idea.
That's funny though. All right, let me ask you this. What'd you think of the Oliver Stone movie, The Doors?
You know, I thought it was a really good movie. I thought Val Kilmer was great in it. You know, unfortunately, they didn't stick to the script too well. In fact, they had a script, and this guy, Randy Turner, I believe, wrote it. And then Oliver Stone decided he didn't like it, so he rewrote the whole script himself, which was a big mistake, I think.
Kind of strayed from actual history to fantasy?
You know, he took some liberties with, you know, like they usually do in movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it was one of the best rock and roll movies ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Val Kilmer did a great job, too. I agree.
Yeah, man. He should have got nominated for Academy Award, I thought.
I've got a buddy of mine that I work with who's a huge Doors fan. He's read 6 or 7 books about you guys. But by far, he thinks your book is the best. And he said,
nice.
"He said, he
nice.
Can you share some insight in the writing of it, and also, were you pleased with the reception of it?"
I wish it had made the top 10 list, but unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, everybody had the same idea that I did. I hadn't time to write a book, you know. So there were so many rock and roll books out there that. You know, anyway, I thought it came out great. I had my buddy Jeff Alulis, who helped me write it, and seems to that everybody loves it.
Well, that's good. I have yet to read it, but now that my friend, who is, like I said, a huge Doors fan, he said, "Dude, you got to read this book." So I'm going to definitely check it out.
Well, the paperback is coming out in a couple months. So,
and I can relate, too. I wrote a book about my career about 5 years ago, and it didn't make the top 10 list either. So it's, it's like frustrated writers we are. It's like, what can I tell you?
Exactly.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think that the musical accomplishments of the Doors were overshadowed by Jim Morrison's notoriety?
I think so at the time, you know. I think as time goes on, that's changing, you know. I get so many people that come up to me and you know, they're musicians and stuff, and they say, "Hey, man, if it wasn't for you, you guys, I wouldn't be doing this today. And, you know, it's kind of cool to hear that.
Well, it's always nice to think that somebody's been inspired by your work. That's
exactly.
That's pretty cool. Anything else in the vaults, studio somewhere that might someday get released?
There's a couple things out there. There's a New Orleans show that we're trying to get them to put out. And, you know, people send us stuff all the time. You never know what's going to pop up. But you know, whatever we have in our vault right now, it's gone. It's out there. So I wouldn't look too far into the future. Hopefully that there's a couple more things that we'll find and come out.
The New Orleans show, was that like the final show for Jim?
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Interesting. He was having difficulties at that point in time.
You know, he had the trial hanging over his head, right. The Miami thing. He had a real chance to go to jail, and I remember at that show, man, he just totally. After a while, he just kind of sat on the drum riser and just hung his head, man. He was, you could tell he was done.
Yeah, wow, that's tough. I'm actually headed to Paris to meet my girlfriend there early next month, and we're definitely making a trek to Pierre Lachey to pay homage to the Lizard King's grave, so to speak.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Say hi for me.
I will definitely do that. I will definitely do that.
Been there many times.
I assumed you probably had been, so, you know. Well, you know what? It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm so looking forward to the show tomorrow night at the Arcata. That's going to be a real treat. And I thank you for your time, and I thank you for all the music that you've given us. And, I mean, I got to tell you, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been playing Doors music for a long, long time on the radio. So thanks for giving me such great stuff to use. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, too. And I've got a couple of things coming out, actually, right now. There's if you check out my website, there's a video that we did in honor of Phil Chen, who was my bass player and worked with Ray and I for years. Phil Chen, man, he was an amazing bass player. He was on Blow by Blow with Jeff Beck.
Sure.
And it's a reggae. We did this reggae album, total instrumental reggae. It's kind of unusual. So that'll be coming out pretty soon. And also another instrumental album that I'm doing with my jazz kind of group. I have this jazz band. It's kind of funk and jazz. And it's called Krieger and the Soul Savages.
Sounds very intriguing. What's the website? Give people the website.
RobbieKrieger.com.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we will look for that. And we will look for you tomorrow night at the Arcata. And, again, thank you for your time, and safe travels.
All right, man. Hope to see you there.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Adios.
Bye.